There we are. Good morning. Hey, I noticed something. I was looking for something and somebody moved something. Nobody had my back. Did I move my bag over there or did somebody else do that? Did I do that? Okay, I did it to myself. Because I moved Vonda's cup because I wanted to change it out to be a Dallas Cowboy cup and stuff like that. So I thought she did that. And then I looked over there and I was going, what is it doing over there? So I did it to myself. Have you ever done that to yourself? You know, well, it was wonderful to be with you this morning. And yesterday we were able to go out and do some hunting for some plants and stuff like that. We bought some plants to try to make our place look a little bit more interesting, I guess you'd put it, a little bit more colorful. Also some garage sale. Had a good time talking with Ann and Vern. So for that too. So I hope you had a good day yesterday. I don't know if you went garage selling or whatever you want to call it, but I'm sure those are kind of special occasions. And one thing that's really good, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? So nice and warm. You know, when you have beads of sweat forming, it's just so fun. So I'm happy. And so you just continue to think of me as we go through these dry, hot days. See, dry, hot is me, all right? Humidity, I can do without. But the heat, the dry heat, that's what I grew up in. So I enjoy it. Going through the word, you know, last week, again, yeah, Jesus is moving. He's moving on, right? He's moving towards Jerusalem. His mission. He's on a mission, a kingdom building mission. And nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop him in this mission. So he continues on. I look at, you know, and then as reading in this and listening to Randy's reading, you know, it's just, have you ever been invited to a party or some type of event? And I know some of you probably go, oh, you get there real early, you know, and some of you maybe just right on time. But, you know, in California where I grew up, you don't do that. You got to come in at least 15, 20 minutes late. So if somebody says, be there at 6, you should be there at 6:20 to be fashionably cool. All right? Because if you came at 6, people are going, you troll. you're looking for some food. You're trying to get at it early, are you? You know, you're over anxious, so you have to play it cool. Now, in Thailand, you know what they do? The party starts at 6, but if they arrive at 9:30 just before it ends, that's good. I was there. And people say, yep, you were there. And that's all that had to be done. So, you know, different cultures, different places, you know, with that. With Jesus, though, as he was reading that scroll of Isaiah there in Luke 4, and at that last line, he says, in the year of the Lord's favor. Well, that's not a one-year thing. It's not an actual year. That year is like it's a period. It's the age. It's an age. It's the messianic age. It's the age of grace and mercy where the Lord wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, so, you know, he's thinking about that, and he's on his mission because he knows there's a time limit. Okay, there's a time limit going on. You know, the great banquet is right here. The great banquet is set up. It's being set up right now for all those who believe, all those who are on that guest list. You know, but there's a time limit to that. And a time limit, as we find out as we go on, is now. The time limit is now. And so Jesus, as you look at him, you know, people try to hold on to him. In fact, maybe I should move on here. You know, they're trying to keep them to themselves. But he says, no. I got to move on. I got to go to other towns. I got to go to other villages. I got to go continue to teach about the kingdom of God and tell people to repent and believe because the kingdom is near. You know, I can't stay here. And as we see, you know, as these, you know, thousands of people, they're trampling one another just to see Jesus, hear him, all these different reasons why they came. You know, some people came just to see him do miracles. Some people came because their friend came. Other people came because they're hitting rock bottom and they know they need help. You know, but thousands of them are there. But he says, I got to move on. I got to go towards Jerusalem. There's a date I have. There's a time I have to meet. And he's not going to go fashionably late. He's going to go right on time because everything is perfect in God's kingdom. Let's pray before we go on. Lord, Father, again, we come before you in your word. Lord, we come here to this building. We come to this building to meet together to worship the King of all creation. We come together to learn more about you. We come together to celebrate in this salvation, this grace salvation, this salvation that we did not earn, but you gave freely to us. And so we praise you and thank you this morning. And we pray that you bless this word, that you'll speak through me, a weak vessel, a broken vessel, that your name be glorified, that your word will go out true and empowered by your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and to guide our steps and to change our lives. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So he's traveling here. And then there, I don't know who asked the question, doesn't say who. And I'm not even sure if he was really a part of the group of disciples or not, but he was moving along with them. And he asked this question. He says, are only a few people going to be saved, Lord? And it's kind of an innocent question, it seems like, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. You know, but he's probably observing this, you know, but maybe it's a little bit more complex. You know, when I think about it, it might be a little bit more complex because maybe it's kind of like, oh, Jesus, look, we're going to this town, but look, we're leaving thousands that were back there trampling all over themselves, and now we're walking forward to another village, and we're just such a small little flock. What happened there, Jesus? What happened? Jesus, I signed up for something else. I signed up knowing that you are the Messiah. I signed up to see something great happen. There should be thousands following us. We should be going, moving like the Israelites through the desert, going out of Egypt into the promised land. Millions of people going. But I don't see that. Jesus, can I make a suggestion? Maybe you need to get a better marketer. Maybe, oh, you know what, Jesus, not only just marketing, but you know what, your message is kind of harsh. It's filled with truth. Ooh, it hurts. I don't think the people really want to hear that. In fact, you know what? As Pilate said, you know, back here, I think I have it there, or maybe I don't have that one, but what is truth? What is truth? So, Jesus, you know, the popular opinion is this. You know, just like in the days of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. That was way back there in the days of Judges. Jesus, come on. Get with the program. You want thousands following you? Let's hit their hearts. You know, they have their own desires. They don't have their own preferences. Don't forget about the truth. These things are more important. Yeah. Then you're going to get big numbers. Everybody come. Everybody. It's so easy to get into the kingdom. Everybody can get into the kingdom of God. Everybody's going to follow you. There's no heaven, no hell, really. You know, there's a good God, even if there is. You know, he's saving us all. He won't throw us into hell. He loves us. So you can hear that, can't you? Can you hear that today in our own society today? It's so interesting because this is 2,000 years ago, and he's asking a lot of the same questions we ask today, don't it? No. Why so few? Jesus. Get with the program. Jesus. You should have thousands by now. Jesus. Follow the public opinion. Jesus. Come on. You could do it. That's what they did back then. But then there's a... went a little bit past that one. A word of warning here that Paul wrote to Timothy. Can you read that for me? Somebody with a loud voice. Who has a good voice here? Anybody want to read that out for me? Or maybe let's read it together. One, two, three. That's 2,000 years ago, and that was actually even before that in the Old Testament, the prophets. I don't know how many prophets spoke against that type of attitude, and that's today. Have you noticed? Have you noticed this? Oh, I don't want to listen to that, but I like listening to this. It just makes me feel all comfy. Oh, thrilled. Goosebumpy. You're hitting, you got me, you're speaking to me, type thing. But there's a warning in there, right? Jesus, being the teacher as he is, these questions come at him. But he doesn't really tend to answer questions unless they're really good, unless they're really going to fulfill a real need. And so he changed the answer a little bit. He went at it a little bit different angle because he knew this is what the people, all the people needed to hear, not just a few. All right? So some people are numbers people. But Jesus, he wasn't thinking about that. So he was talking about being the way. See, I don't know about you. I don't play soccer, but soccer's a pretty good thing. You know, it's a good sport. It's fun running around, kicking a ball, you know, teamwork and all that. You know, but the whole purpose of the game isn't just exercise and teamwork. It's to win. And the only way you could win is to get that ball through the goalposts, right? That's the only way. I mean, you can get a bubble and blow it and go through goalposts and stuff like that. Doesn't count. You can do some flips and somersaults and all that stuff and get into that goal yourself. Doesn't count. You can rush thousands of people and drive yourselves into that goal. Doesn't count. You got to get the ball in the goal to make it count. And then Jesus says this. He says, Hey, guys, don't worry about the numbers. You know, God's going to take care of the numbers, all right? Don't worry about that. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Talk about this effort. Oh, scary word. Make every effort. Well, you look at it a little bit more in the Greek, it's more like a striving. And it's even more than that. It's like an Olympic athlete training. And people said, but you can't get into heaven. You can't get into the kingdom of God by works. You can't do it by your behavior or things you do. And you're right. We're saved by grace alone. But as a heart attitude, Jesus is saying, the way is, I'm not talking about numbers. How many are going to get in? It's who's going to get in. And if you're going to get in, you better make every effort to get in. You better make an effort like this guy who says, I just got a ticket to a Dodger game. Oh, Barry's not here, Philly. Ticket to a Dodger game. And you get up, you know, you got the time. You know, they start at 7:30, okay? Drive through all that traffic. You know, if you've ever been to L.A., some of you have, and said that sometimes the roads get awful crowded, and you're just doing this, dodging in and out, beeping, and whatever you got to do to get over there. And you get to that, and there's thousands of people trying to go to the same place the same time you are, and you just say, I want to see the first pitch. So you know what you do. You don't sit there and just wait. What do you do? What do you do, Sharon? I know you do it. I know Don would probably do it. I don't know. Maybe Eli could do it. He could pick up a few people and just start going like this. Excuse me. Coming through. I got to get to my seat. right? I mean, you're making, you put a push, kick. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I see things on internet where they're fighting over parking spaces. Okay? They want to get to the seat to see the first pitch because that first pitch is important because it sets the whole atmosphere of the game, the first pitch. Because if that pitcher throws a little lollipop up there, it's not a good game. But if he throws a fastball right down the middle and the guy swings and hits a home run or misses, you know, then you got it. See, he didn't want to be late. He comes in late. He comes in fashionably late, like a lot of LAers do. Hey, I'm part of that. They come third inning, fourth inning, truthfully. And then they leave the seventh or eighth inning. All right? That's LA. Okay? That's California. Southern Cal. I don't know about Northern. Northern, we don't think about those guys. Those guys are odd. In fact, they should be in another country. In fact, they should just earthquake hit and float into the ocean. I like her. But, you know, so that's the type of, this attitude, that's the heart attitude, right? You know, so people say, well, oh, man, Jesus, don't get all serious on me. Don't get all serious, Jesus. Come on, have some fun, Jesus. Don't get all serious on me about this stuff. Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me that I'm a sinner. Don't tell me there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. No, I just want to live my life comfy, cozy, get what I can get. Get what I can get. But Jesus isn't like that because he desires us to know him, right? To be saved. He wants us to be saved. Because then he goes on here, he says, but he will answer. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Once the owner, so now you're talking about, you know, able to get in, not able to get in. He says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you. Or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. Yeah, we don't want to be in that spot. See, he gives us the way. He gives us the way. In fact, making every effort, there's a reason why. Because of this. See, can you read that for me? 1, 2, 3. Do you understand what he's getting at here? He's doing this because he doesn't want us to go through the broad road there into that big old door that's easy to get in because it's going to hell. It's going to a place of punishment for eternity. He wants us to get it through that narrow door that leads to life. See, he's giving us a way. Hey, you want to score points in soccer? Kick the ball through the goal or hit it or bump it with your chest. Whatever you got to do, do it. If you want to get in the kingdom of God, get after it. Get after it. Get your heart right with God. See, one of my favorites is this. It says in Philippians, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment thing. It's a relationship, you know, not sitting around. You know, I know a lot of people, oh, I listen to all these sermons, and I go, oh, I heard Billy Graham one day there. You know, I did this. I raised my hand in the crowd. I did that. Oh, I got a little certificate, said I received Christ. They don't care about what you did. Don't care about what you did. I don't care how many flips you put on your gymnastics routine or how much money you flash in your wallet, or what kind of clothes you wear, you're not getting in unless you've got a relationship with Christ. He's the one that did it for you. He's the one that did it for me. So it's not what I did, it's what He did. It's there for each one of us. So He's warning us, you know, get after it. Like with Alex plays baseball, I'm sure he's a good player out there. And I'm sure he practices a lot to get good. Or Eli working on that wrestling, or Nate throwing those javelins or things like that. You know, they don't sit there and just do nothing. They're out there practicing, working hard to get good. To be the best they can be. There you can be the best of the best of the best, right? Because now you're not being the best of the best of the best for yourself. You're being the best of the best of the best for Christ and for those around you. That's what it's about. I'm nobody, but I got to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. That's what it's about. So work it. What does that look like? We'll talk a little bit later, too, about that. Great banquet. So let me keep on reading here. It says, but he will reply, throw them out into the evildoers, so they're in trouble, okay? There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Jews presume that they are already at that banquet, that they are their names are already on the list. From the Old Testament, they've been talking about this great banquet, this great messianic salvation banquet. And it was a joyful celebration. They look forward to it. And they knew they were in there. They presumed that. Because I am a descendant of Abraham. I'm in. I wear a Dodgers cowboy. I'm Dodgers hat. I'm in. I get to go free. Try to do that in LA. Wear your old Dodger hat, get your uniform on, maybe even have your bobbleheads get in there. Try to get in the gate without money. I'm in free! No, sorry, guy. No, you can't do that. It's powerful. Time is running out. The great banquet. So the Jews are just presuming. I'm in. I don't have to do anything. I'm already in. I got Abraham. I'm one of his. Nah. Jesus is going, no, no, no. I gave it away. And I'm also spoke the truth to you. I'm the life. I'm the one that you got to get to know. I'm the one when I'm in the streets preaching and eating. You should be right by me. You should be talking with me. You should be actually opening your hearts and saying, just falling down like a Peter and saying, forgive me, Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinner. Yeah. That's it. That's the correct response before a holy God. Changes our lives. And Jesus says, you know, there's weeping because you're going to be shut out. Time's running out. Can't come fashionably late. Can't come to last half hour and be included. Sorry, the doors are closed. You can be looking in. Wouldn't that be sad? Oh, man, if I had got there, I'm fashionably late, coming in 30 minutes late like I should, and blink, the door won't open. I see Roger Staubach, Emmett Smith, Tony Dorsett, Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Clayton Kershaw, all these, and then my family in there. Oh, and friends, let me in! Can't get in. Oh, you know I'd be weeping and there'd be gnashing of teeth. Don't put yourself in that. Jesus said, don't put yourselves in that. Don't presume anything. Make every effort to get into that door, guys. And I am the door. Jesus is the door. He's the one that you got to have the relationship with. He's the one that you fall down before and ask for forgiveness. He's the one that you invite in your heart as Lord and Savior. He's the one that we follow. Follow no matter what happens in our lives. The valleys and the mountaintops. Follow. Follow no matter what battle we face. Whatever's in our way. Follow. That's what he's getting at here. Because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see all the prophets, just think of the Jews, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves, they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in there, but you yourselves thrown out. Not just locked out, thrown out. So you thought you can get in. Sorry, guy, don't know you. Get out of here. I don't want to be in that situation. I don't know about you. That'd be the worst thing I can think of. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Oh my. Just think about the Jewish mindset. When you're talking about the Gentiles, all these other people coming there, you're talking about the dirty of the dirties, dogs getting in there, and they're sitting there with my heroes and my family. I can't get in. Even they got in. I couldn't get in. I couldn't do it following my rules. Following the public opinion. Following my own heart. My own desires. My own preferences. See, there's that reversal kingdom. Indeed, there will be those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. And it's a reversal. You know, people think, hey, I got it. I'm all in. I'm there. All of a sudden, you find out you're in line being thrown out. And the people that never thought they'd get in there, like this crippled woman for 18 years, being healed, and her life changed, gets in. The most unlikely, unimaginable person to get in. Or even some murderer like a King David. Or a womanizer like Solomon. They got in. Don't do that. So the message is, just don't let it happen to you. The time is running out. See, remember, the time limit is what? What's the time limit? Now. It's now. Now means now. Now. Jesus can come back now. And that's it. The door is closed. He can. It's an imminent return. Imminent means at any time he can come. Anytime. We've got to be ready. We better get real with him and stop playing games. We don't want to be shut out. See, there's a now and then there's a later. See, I was a lot of a later. I'm a later guy, okay? You give me an assignment and I'm not doing it now. I'll do it later. And then when it's time for that day, just before or something, I'd go, oh, I got to do this, and I'd be all wrecked up and stuff like that, and be all mad, and get away from me, shut up. I got to do my finish my paper and things like that. That's the way I was in school. All right? Yeah. No, it's better being now. You know, Satan hates us. He wants to destroy us. He wants us in hell because he's going too. But he wants to destroy each one of us too. He wants everyone to go in there with him. And so as he was talking with his three minions of his, and he's going, man, I want to ruin the human race. Give me some ideas. What are you going to say to them to ruin them? And one guy says, well, I'll tell them that there's no heaven. No heaven. And Satan's going, that's okay, but most people know there's something good, you know, something out there and stuff of that, you know, so, okay, that's okay, we'll put that aside. And then the next guy goes, he piped up, he goes, oh, I'll tell him there's no hell. And Satan's going, that's getting better, you know, that's getting a little bit better. But yeah, most people know that when you do bad things happen, most people. And usually you punish your children, you know, or something, you know, give them some type of discipline. So, still not, it's okay, but still not there. And then the third one's going, oh, I got it. He says, I'll tell them not to hurry. And Satan goes, not to hurry. They'll get it. That'll ruin the human race. Don't hurry. Just do it later. Just do it later. Don't worry about the now. Don't worry about the now. So that's what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, now's the time. The kingdom of God is coming. We don't know when. And we don't know when a tree is going to fall down on us. And we don't know when our lives are going to end on this earth. But we do know that Christ walked on this earth. It's a historical fact. All these things, if you want to look at it. A lot of people say, oh, it's fairy tales and all this stuff. Sorry, it isn't. This is a history lesson for us. His life is real. He died for us. And he rose again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. He's coming back. Just like we were saying this morning, he's coming back, you know, for that Sunday school. It's powerful. Now is the time. So for us, what are we going to do with this? Well, for people who are following Christ, you should feel a prompting of a now in your heart. All right? I don't know what it's about. Maybe it's to write a little note to a friend. You know, the Holy Spirit just speak to you sometimes. Sometimes just bow down and pray. Sometimes it's, there's a life group happening. Make a commitment. Being with others, learning about God, fellowshipping, encouraging one another. You know, now's the choice. Now's the choice. Go over to a friend or a family member and pray for them. Now's the choice to bless people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now's the choice when people are saying, talking about this and that, and you know the truth, and they're like, you know what lemmings are? Little animals, and you know what they do? The leader goes somewhere, and what did the other ones do? What did they do? They follow. So, you know, so the now is, you know, some people are going like this. They're going, oh, and there's a big old cliff over here. It's going down to the rocks. And the leader's going, oh, I'm doing good. And I've got all the followers behind. And they're going ready to go over the edge. We know the truth. The now is now. Speaking the truth in love, we've got to say what? Go ahead. You're doing fine. Go ahead. Do what you want to do, what you think is right, right? We have the truth. We got to speak the truth to say, stop! There's a cliff! You're going down if you keep going. Stop! There's another way. There's one way. The only way you can get a goal in soccer. There's only one way to heaven through this narrow door, and the door is Jesus Christ. And for those of us who don't have the prompting, maybe we haven't entered that door yet. Maybe we're presuming that we're there because we come to church. Maybe we presume we're there because we're good guys, good people. Oh, my mom and dad were Christians. They followed Christ, so am I. No, that's not how it works. Jesus is saying, no, you've got to make a decision yourself. You've got to fall down like Peter yourself before Christ and ask for forgiveness and ask him into your hearts. And then what do you do? You know, the way, the truth, and the life. We have to live it. Other people to see it. Not the watered-down gospel messages that we hear in a lot of churches today. Because they're looking for numbers. See, some people might go around and go, oh, what a small flock we are, Jesus. We only have like 40 or 50 people. Oh! They start crying and all that. What are we going to do? We got to change our message. We got to water things down so other people come in. So they'll just love to be with us because all they hear is just these nice fluffy words, all these fun little stories and stuff like that. Don't worry about numbers. See, Jesus isn't a number guy. He wants hearts. He's saying, if you want to get into that narrow gate, you got to come through me. And that comes by relationship only, and that comes by confessing your sins and believing in me and following me. It's a commitment. It's a grace salvation that he offers us. And so the watered down stuff, there's people just can be falling off the cliff. They need to know the truth so they know there's a cliff there. And then they got it, and then they can make a decision. And that's why we get just continue to pray. Don't miss out. I don't know where you're at. But don't miss out. It's a daily struggle. Don't miss out on this great. By the way, that was me at the line in my younger days. Like that, yeah. Gideon's laugh. Don't laugh. Don't say, no, that wasn't you. Could have been me. Let's put it that way. Could have been me. All right, don't miss out on this party, that great banquet. You do not want to be looking from the outside in. And you don't want your family or friends or neighbors, coworkers, classmates, teammates, anything. You don't want them. So we hold the truth as followers of Christ, those of who are of us are following. Let's be it, you know, and speak it in love that no one will miss out on the great banquet. Let's pray. Lord, Father, it's loud and clear. It's loud and clear, Father. Your word is true. It's truth. And there's only one way. And you are the life, everlasting life. And we want to be a part of that, and we want others to be a part of that. And Father, if I'm not there yet, if someone here has not said yes to you, not fallen down before you, not gotten real with you, not entered that narrow gate, Lord, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they will choose now. They'll choose this time, this now, this moment, to say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. I'll follow you. And knowing that Jesus will forgive all your sins. And he will receive you into his kingdom at that great banquet table. And Lord, may we be those who hold the truth in love. Speak it in love. As we see others going towards that cliff. Being those who pray, those who speak words of Christ to them, leading them to you, Jesus, and allow them to see you. Nobody, not me, nobody else, but Jesus. And that their lives would be saved, their lives would be transformed, that they will be a part of this great kingdom banquet. Empower us, Father. Ignite our hearts. Fill it with that fire of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We need you. We need your Spirit sparking that fire in our hearts. So, Father, I pray for that, for each one of us. That Mountaintop Alliance Church be a church that is alive with the hope and truth and the love of Christ. That will impact this region and the world as we live our lives before you in your power and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen.